Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Should we be standing, apparently? How disrespectful are you being right now? The NFL has issued new rules, mandates, that are going to be challenged, by the way. Let's be honest with this. But they've opened up the can of worms again when it comes to proper behavior during the anthem.
The NFL, addressing the controversy over national anthem protests, announcing a new policy. Under the new rules, players may stay in the locker room during the Star Spangled Banner, but if they are on the field, they must stand, or the team could face fines. The rule change coming 2 years after former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick first started kneeling to protest racial inequality and police brutality.
So the NFL now mandating that players, if they are on the field, must stand for the national anthem. Now, you also have the Jets owners who are supporting players on this.
At least one owner seemingly supporting players who want to kneel. Jets co-owner Christopher Johnson saying he'll pay any fines his players get.
Yeah, that the Jets will cover the fines for players who do not adhere to this policy, because there's apparently fines as well as, I want to say, maybe it's a 15-yard penalty was one of the proposed sanctions in here. This is a solution going in search of a problem, I think, in a lot of ways, because I don't get a sense that this was that big a deal again, and the NFL has kind of waded back into it and stirred it up.
So they've created their own kind of PR nightmare. This had been a problem for quite some time, and the problem grew to the point where NFL owners were facing a decline in viewership of games. Now, the 20% decline over the last 2 years, it could be a variety of different things. I'm not going to say that players kneeling during the national anthem is the reason fewer people are watching games, but I think it's one of them. And I think you've got these NFL owners who are looking at revenue streams and money. It always comes back down to money, and are making this decision. But we all are also learning this recently here, Bruce, that the NFL did not hold an official vote when it passed these new anthem resolutions.
It's not official.
ESPN's the one that is reporting this right now, and they're saying that sources said league executives polled the owners, knew how they would vote, but didn't hold an official vote for it, which is a bit unusual for a major resolution such as this.
Well, and again, I think their compromise has the effect of upsetting everybody involved. It's not a compromise. There is an argument it may be illegal as well for them to demand this. The Labor Relations Board has said employees are not required to do certain things, that your employer cannot force you to do certain things, and that as a group of employees, you can ban together and protest against your employer legally.
Here's the other interesting thing. We're starting to get some more information about this new mandate that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell had said the vote was unanimous among owners, right?
I know that's not true, because
the San Francisco 49ers owner, Jed York, said he abstained from it.
Right.
You also had
he was there, but didn't vote.
Yeah,
that take that
said
as a no.
The owner of the Oakland Raiders also abstained from voting. So those that did vote were unanimous. I mean, you're not getting a unanimous vote among all owners. So this is where it will be interesting, because teams will have the option to fine any personnel, including players, if they don't stand during it. So are you going to now have this patchwork of enforcement across the NFL?
And you don't have to be on the sideline. You could be in the locker room as well. You don't get punished. So you can kneel during the anthem. You just can't kneel where the TV cameras can see you. That's basically their policy. Their policy is not against disrespecting the flag, which I would argue your version of respect or disrespect is not covered by any law or norm. It's your opinion. You can do it. You just can't do it where we can see you.
But it's also, I mean, what you could get out of this, I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything to base this upon. I'm just using it as an example. The Dallas Cowboys, America's team, they fine their players for kneeling.
Yeah.
Okay? But then you have
the Jets.
The Jets, who, when the players kneel, say, we're not going to fine you.
We're not
going to
fine you. And if the NFL fines you,
we'll
pay.
We'll cover it.
We'll pay for it.
So now this has become like, no longer is it like the NFL and rules that are across the NFL. It's a patchwork among teams. And that's different and interesting.
Listen, this is a freedom of expression and a free speech issue. There's no two ways around it. This isn't about the government trying to stop them from doing it, because they can't stop them from doing it. There is absolutely nothing. There is no prescribed appropriate respect for the flag, a bald eagle, or anything else prescribed in law by the Constitution itself. And there are serious questions that your employer, yes, even when you're on the clock, cannot make you do anything they want you to do, especially if it violates the Constitution itself. Your employer's handbook doesn't trump the law of the land.
I think players should stand. That's my stance. I think players should stand throughout the national anthem. But that being said, if one takes a knee, that's their decision. I don't like it, but it's their decision. Should they be punished for it? I don't necessarily think so. I think you have viewers who have decided to punish the NFL by not watching. My dad is among that group. And the NFL is now being forced to react to them because of dollars. This isn't about right. This isn't about wrong. People are going to disagree with what is right and what is wrong. It's the almighty dollar that speaks. And that is why the NFL, I believe, is reacting. Now, the NFL kind of, Bruce, created this own problem themselves.
Sure.
One, because they didn't handle it when it first happened or address it. Two, the very fact that the NFL takes a huge amount of money from the U.S. military to sponsor different veterans events or different ceremonies, or when you have the, like, you know, welcome the vets back, which are all great and I'm totally
everybody's
down for.
Standing ovation,
yeah,
all this and the other.
No,
just so you
great.
Know.
That's paid for.
They're not doing it because they're patriotic. They're doing it
money.
Because they get money for it, just like they, hey, if you can kick the ball through the field goal or make a three-pointer, you win dinner at whatever. That's paid for.
So so the NFL...
They're not doing it for any other reason.
...saw a revenue stream.
Yeah, from
the U.S. military.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, hey, you know, it's a business. I get it. They saw a revenue stream. They took it. We started having the national anthem played before the game. It wasn't always like that. And you also have to ask, you know, we have the national anthem that's played before sporting events, but it's not like when you go to a movie theater, which is entertainment as well, such as a game is entertainment. You don't play the national anthem. Like, why do we play the national anthem before sports?
I have a bigger issue. And my bigger issue is a fundamental issue that forced patriotism is the exact opposite of freedom and liberty. Forced reverence for a flag, demanding people stand at attention, demanding they do that. That is exactly the opposite thing that people fought and died for. No one fought and died so that you had to stand and salute a flag. It's not true. That is your projection. It's the exact opposite. The people fought and died for this country so that you would have the freedom and liberty to do what you want.
Here's the thing, though. I have heard from many veterans who echo what you say, who do not like the fact that Colin Kaepernick and other NFL players have taken a knee during the national anthem. They don't like it. They want them all to stand. But they say, I fought for the right for them to kneel.
You don't get to say I'm in favor of free speech except for
finish.
That.
No. Let me finish. So you can think everybody should stand, but yet give them the space to kneel. As a person who is entertained by the NFL, as somebody who is a fan of said team. But when it's a business decision, and again, this comes, but you're talking about liberty and freedom and Constitution and all of that. And there's an argument to be made with all of the points that you've just had. But at the end of the day, this boils down to dollars, cents, money, and that is the reason why the NFL went this direction.
Yeah, I think it's also going to end up in, if it doesn't end up in court, it ends up part of the collective bargaining agreement, because also there is a union for the NFL players, and there is nothing in the labor contract with the owners
yet
that says you have to, well, and hey, if we're going to do that, What are you giving us in return? Not going to give it up for nothing. Hey, yep. How many more billions are you going to add to the salary cap if you want us all to stand on the sideline and salute your flag? We'll do it, but we'll do it at a price. If you're making money off of your fake patriotism, then we ought to get paid for fake patriotism as well. It's not patriotism if you're forced to do it. If you don't want to salute the flag, don't. Listen, I understand being in favor of free speech is a tricky thing. It means that I have to be okay with the Klan marching. It means I have to be okay with people waving Nazi flags. It means I have to be okay with the Westboro Baptist Church picketing things. They are horrific people, and I have to support their right because free speech and freedom of expression is an absolute, not just the ones I agree with. It makes no difference what you like or don't like. You either agree with the free speech or you don't. There is no middle ground on that. It is black and white. Today, earlier in the show, we had some guests in that talked about teen suicide, bullying in schools, kind of in reference to this new Netflix series debuting, or season two of 13 Reasons Why.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I was entertained by, I was intrigued by season one of 13 Reasons Why, which appeared on Netflix just over a year ago. Season two debuted over the weekend. You can binge watch, as Netflix will let you do. I've only watched the first episodes. I did that on purpose so that we could have a discussion today with some guests from Teen Lifeline, an organization that provides kind of peer mentoring, counseling for teens who are struggling. And that in this entire show, 13 Reasons Why, is about teenagers in high school struggling in a variety of ways.
Yeah, a variety of different ways. Struggling with bullying, struggling with the labels that are put on people, struggling with not being able to talk to their parents about it, struggling with sexual assault, struggling with suicide, struggling with some really heavy, heavy issues.
Yeah.
And so we talked earlier in the show to Matilda. Now, Matilda is a peer counselor at Lifeline, a teen lifeline. Now, Teen Lifeline, like you said, is this telephone number that teens can call and they can talk to another teen who knows what they're going through. Like she said, they don't have to explain to us what Snapchat is. Like, yeah. You might have to explain to adults certain things. Like, we get it. And we wanted to get Matilda's take on this. And she says, you know what, a lot of these issues the kids are facing are being brought to light by social media.
Issues that I think have always happened in high school have just now been to the surface. And now with Snapchat, people are reporting incidences and sharing them. And one issue, especially that's hurting a lot of teenage girls right now, is sexting, where pictures are getting sent around. And yeah. So that's also a really big issue that
addressed
just didn't
in the show as well.
Yeah, that just didn't exist 20 years ago. Right. You know, maybe a Polaroid got passed around, but that was easy to burn or something. That's not possible anymore.
Right. So kids today are going through a very different high school experience than you and I did, than their parents did. And we know that there are a lot of teens who are walking across the stage today for high school graduations all across the state. And some of them are a little battered and scarred from those years. I think we all are to a certain degree, but it's very different today than it was back then. And so to help parents navigate this new series, or second series, actually, second season of 13 Reasons Why, Teen Lifeline is actually hosting a watch party and a discussion. Okay. And Nikki Kontz, she is the clinical director of Teen Lifeline. She describes what is going to be taking place this weekend.
I'll have some discussion about the first season. And then after we watch that first episode of the second season, we're going to kind of delve into some of the highlighted topics, how parents and educators can talk to kids, connect to kids, what to expect. But then we're also going to be doing weekly Facebook Live chats for the month following, discussing the rest of the episodes of the season.
Because this is a difficult topic. I mean, I have an 8-year-old. And I've already had to have some really hard conversations with her when it comes to school shootings.
Have you talked to Riley about bullying?
Yes. And,
okay, so you have. Okay.
Yeah, we have talked about bullying, but on an 8-year-old level, right?
But I'm sure it exists on some level.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And I've talked to her about school shootings. I've talked to her about the run, hide, fight, because she's had lockdowns at her school. I mean, she's 8. folks. And I find myself having to have these conversations. But preparing yourself as a parent to have a conversation with your teen, you thought that like the sex talk was the most difficult talk. Now it's like about suicide.
I was
going to
say the sex talk might make the top 10 these days.
This is definitely a place where parents kind of need to step back and start having open discussion. And because this is an alarming season for adults, I know that have watched it. It's hard.
It's jarring.
It is. It's very jarring. But the reality of it is while this is definitely a Hollywood version of it, some of these topics are very real to our kids nowadays.
They are. And this show can be very, very difficult to watch.
And it can bring things up for people watching it, especially teens. And so that teen lifeline number, because I don't want to end this segment without giving that out. In fact, Steve, let's tweet it out as well, because we know that there are teens. And this is also a resource for parents as well. 602-248-8336. That is the Teen Lifeline number here. If you need some help, they can help you out. 602-248-8336. And you may be shocked to know that every 7 minutes a child is bullied. And we all agree it's time for this to end. So we here at KTAR are partnering up with Earnhardt Family, want to make Arizona bully-free. You can find out how to help end bullying and enter to win a year of free movies at Harkins Theater. Text the word bully-free to 620-620. That's bully-free, 620-620.
The North Korea summit has been canceled by President Trump. What does that mean for the United States? What does it mean for North Korea? We have an expert joining us next to help make some sense of that. Coming up right here on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So this morning we learned that the planned summit, 2-3 weeks from now, between North Korea and the United States was canceled by President Trump because of some recent comments the North Koreans have made.
Earlier this morning, the president stepped to the podium at the White House and said this.
Based on the recent statement of North Korea, I have decided to terminate the planned summit in Singapore on June 12th.
Joining us right now on the KTAR Newsmaker line to get some perspective on this is Paul Kinsinger. He is he's with the Thunderbird School of Global Management. He's with 20 years in the CIA. And Paul, we thank you for joining us today because we're trying to understand what happens now.
Mm. Well, my pleasure to be here again, guys. Appreciate the opportunity to talk. You know, I suspect that we're going to have some on and off switches here over, over perhaps even the next couple of weeks, but certainly over the summer and into the fall. You know, I don't know how much time would be left to actually switch the June 12th thing back on because a certain amount of logistics has to go. So my guess is this is not going to happen. But I suspect we will see some on and off activity as the two sides go back and forth in kind of a little shadow dance as to what they want to do. It's clear both sides want to have some kind of meeting because there's an awful lot at stake for both sides. I think what people need to understand, however, that the outcomes, the preferred outcomes and the reason why both sides want to have this summit are remarkably different.
Yeah.
And are not very much in alignment. And I don't think the president's got, I don't think he's been straightforward with us about that in terms of really telling the American people, hey, you know, North Korea is coming to the table for some different reasons than we are.
Well, okay, let's get into those. And again, our guest is Paul Kinsinger, emeritus faculty at the Thunderbird School of Global Management, 20-year career in the CIA. What don't we know? What are the North Koreans' motivation? What are they looking to negotiate for?
Well, North Korea, I think it comes down to some basic things that have always been on the table for them. Don't forget they have been in isolation around the world since almost their creation coming out of the Korean War in the early 1950s. This government is recognized as legitimate by very few players around the world. It has been in diplomatic and political isolation as a result. It has been economically isolated for decades under on and off sanctions from much of the world. So it is a very backward place that has, much of the world has left North Korea behind. And even North Korea is beginning to feel this. So breaking out of their isolation, political and especially economic, is a critical thing. I think, the nuclear program has all along been seen by the North Koreans as the main piece of leverage they have to achieve these goals. Mm. They would like the United States to pull its troops out of South Korea. They would like to be able to have more opportunity to work with South Korea without U.S., quote, interference in how that relationship unfolds. They would like sanctions to be lifted, and they'd like to have investment in their country. And I think they would like to keep their nuclear weapons, even if they don't do much more with them than where they are now. We, of course, want the nuclear weapons to be completely done away with and destroyed. We want that program rolled back to zero before anything else really happens. And so there is the sticking point.
You talked a little bit about how North Korea is an isolated country that really mm-hmm. isn't been legitimized on a global scale.
Right.
Don't you feel as though that North Korea has already won a little bit, gotten a little bit, even though the summit has been called off, because they have gotten some legitimacy? Mm. The president has agreed to sit down and talk to them. Heck, they sat down themselves with Mike Pompeo, so they've already gotten something without a summit.
That's correct. And, that's a gamble that we would have to have made. Any administration would have to have made that to just get anything started. You have to confer a certain amount of legitimacy just to be able to get the game started. So no question that's the case. So you can chalk up a win to North Korea in that category. How long that lasts, however, if we were to go back to some kind of cool or cold freeze in the relationship between the two countries, how long that lasts and what that actually gets them, not really clear. It's very much beyond what they're gaining from it right now.
Paul Kinzinger, again, from the Thunderbird School of Global Management and 20 years in the CIA, an expert in helping us understand a little bit more about the North Korea-United States summit that has been called off. As we look forward and as we are going forward from here, do we go back to situation normal, all screwed up? Do you expect any change? And it strikes me, tell me if you see the same thing, I trust yours, that China is playing a larger and larger role, and maybe not a role that's supportive of our side.
Well, I think you hit upon something here. I think a couple things I would say to this. First is, I think from our perspective now, this administration has now staked a certain amount of its foreign policy success prestige on making something happen with North Korea, especially since every other administration that the president likes to yell about did not.
They failed.
So
yeah.
It's going to be pretty hard for him to walk back off his own plank now and, put this back in a box and say, well, we're just going to let this happen on its own patience. He's got prestige at stake here, and we know that's an enormous thing for this man. On the China side, I think you've hit upon something that's quite important here. China is, I think, still the major influencer in what goes on in Pyongyang. Simply because they have the common border, they can turn on and off the supply of critical goods and services to North Korea. And, they're in such a critical position. And, this administration has chosen at the same time as they have to deal with North Korea, to try to deal with the so-called trade situation with China. And, the Chinese are none too pleased about this. They like to believe they have the upper hand on economic issues with the United States. They're not interested in being challenged, and I think they're going to use any opportunity they can, including non-economic issues, to try to remind us that this is a very complex game. We need to be careful what we do and say about trade with China, and we're not going to just we're not just going to run around and wave our hands in the air and expect China to just fold.
Wow. Paul Kinzinger, the emeritus faculty at the Thunderbird School of Global Management, right here in Arizona, and a 20-year vet within the CIA. Thank you so much for giving us some perspective here on North Korea. The president this morning calling off the summit caught the North Koreans by surprise. That's odd because they're the ones that released
the South Koreans by surprise.
This letter this morning about either meet us in a meeting room or encounter us in a nuclear-to-nuclear showdown. That's North Korea's words.
Yeah.
Kind of forced the president's hand on it this morning.
Yeah, I think North Korea just goes back to being crazy, which is what we had before. If the worst that came, or the best that came out, we got three Americans released. Okay, let's take that as a victory, right? Positive. But the idea that North Korea is going to fundamentally change in any way, shape, or form, I just hope you're not holding your breath on that. Not going to happen. Might be one of the reasons why you think we need to have our faith in humanity restored. Pamela says she can restore it. Coming up next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
All right, so I have a question. Is there anybody out there, think celebrity, athlete, actor, musician, who you would be shocked, I tell you, if you found out that they had acted inappropriately, sexually assaulted, sexually harassed somebody? Is there anybody left out there that you can't imagine getting added to the list that we know right now? Because all the people on the list today, people thought were nice guys or nice people until there were accusations.
Oprah.
You'd be shocked.
I would be shocked.
I wouldn't. It wouldn't shock me at all to know that Oprah could be a very demanding boss.
Demanding's one thing.
That she could have been overbearing, that people might have felt intimidated and or harassed by. I could see that.
Overbearing and harassed is one thing in that context, but sexual harassessment.
Sexual, maybe not.
It is
in the eye of the beholder. But the only reason I bring that up is because another of America's beloved actors is now being accused of impropriety.
A CNN investigation has uncovered a pattern of alleged inappropriate behavior by legendary actor Morgan Freeman, both on set and at his production company.
Morgan Freeman. That voice. Yeah, March of the Penguins is when you think of that.
You think
voice.
Of March
I
of
do.
The Penguins. When we say Morgan Freeman.
I think of his voice, and that's really? What he's got the voice okay. for, right?
All right.
16 people agreed to share their stories with CNN. Several of them said that Freeman made constant comments about their bodies and clothing choices. 8 said that they were victims of harassment or inappropriate behavior. 2 of those 8 said that they were actually subjected to unwanted touching by Freeman. Now, something very telling is that only 2 of the people, Carol, that Ann and I spoke with were willing to use their names for fear of retribution and speaking out against someone as powerful as Morgan Freeman.
Now, as with any situation, as soon as somebody's name surfaces and these types of allegations, people go into overdrive trying to find instances, examples where the individual may have crossed the line.
Sure.
Well, we were able to find one. You see those reporters that they sit down and they interview actors ahead of a movie.
And the promo tour.
Yeah, and the big movie poster's behind them and they're sitting there and they're having a conversation.
Sure.
That's what's happening right here when you hear this clip. I don't know what movie it was for, but you have a reporter interviewing Morgan Freeman ahead of the release of a movie. Kind of casual, and he gets a little weird.
I'm single too.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you enjoying Bachelor?
I'm enjoying Bachelor life immensely. Because I get to look at you and drool.
Okay, that's creepy.
Okay.
That's creepy.
Morgan Freeman released a statement. Because, again, I would only say allegations are not convictions. The presumption of innocence. I'm not accusing these women of lying. I'm just saying I get it. But he released a statement that I don't think helps him. Morgan Freeman, in a statement, said, anyone who knows me or has worked with me knows I am not someone who would intentionally offend or knowingly make anyone feel uneasy. I apologize to anyone who felt uncomfortable or disrespected. That was never my intent. Unlike other releases from people, other people, Ryan Seacrest has come out and said, I didn't do it. It flat isn't true. It never happened. Morgan Freeman saying, it wasn't my intent to sexually harass
you. I'm just a dirty old man, and you know what? It's just
There's
who I am, and I'm sorry if, it was never my intent. It's just who I am.
Morgan Freeman.
Disgusting.
Getting added to the list. Maybe one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Well, that's why Pamela's here, to restore your faith in humanity.
All right. Love this story. And it's got an Arizona connection, a big one, because Jake the dog went missing from Phoenix here, right? And you can imagine that the owners had assumed the worst. Jake, our dog, is gone. We don't know where he's at. They were stunned to find out that not only was the 7-year-old coonhound alive and well, he turned up some 2,000 miles away in Pennsylvania. Adam was out walking his dog one day up there in Pennsylvania, and he came across his dog wandering in the street. So took the dog in, started to care for him, took him to the vets to get him scanned for a microchip.
Oh, yeah.
It got a hit. Oop. They called the owner. The owner said, yeah, our dog went missing. They were shocked and yet delighted. Delighted that they could get Jake back, but shocked that he was in Pennsylvania. 20 volunteers, part of an animal rescue group, worked together and kind of did a trade-off of Jake.
Yeah.
Each volunteer drove about 100 miles with Jake hanging out in the back seat until they finally made their way to Phoenix.
Road trip.
Jake, the dog, even had on a shirt that said Arizona or bust, and he was reunited with his owner. Now, the owner was unable to actually make the trip to Pennsylvania to get Jake because she had just given birth to a baby, but was so happy and relieved to have Jake the dog back here in Phoenix with his family.
Wow. That is a tremendous road trip.
Love it.
Road tripping
road trip.
It. I love it.
Jake is so Jake. Sweet. I want to meet Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to meet
That's
Jake.
A good story. Thank you. That's a wonderful story. Animal lovers, they'll go to amazing ends, won't they? Outstanding.
As they should. I like it.
Pamela and I, thank you for spending some time with us today. We do appreciate it. Hopefully we helped add a little perspective to a lot of the news of the day. It's what we try to do between 9 and noon. We look through the Double Pain Bulletproof class. Hey, thanks a lot to DJ Tommy Two-Tone over there, also super producer Stevie Z. And Bob McClay's been delivering news information all day long.